Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Hello everyone, this is Dr. Michael Walden. Welcome to Ask the Blood Detective. Today's topic is mastering inflammation. Now, it's so gratifying doing this show every week and receiving your emails and your phone calls is that I'm presenting the exact topics that you want to hear, and inflammation was at the top of the list. But today's show will not be an ordinary, mundane conversation about inflammation, what we all already know, particularly people listening to shows like this, namely that inflammation is a process that seems to be the driving force behind virtually all major degenerative diseases that we're faced today. So whether we're speaking about inflammatory bowel diseases like ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, or we're dealing with autoimmune conditions that affect the joints like rheumatoid arthritis, and there's of course lupus and Sjogren's syndrome, psoriasis, multiple sclerosis, the list goes on and on. Cardiovascular disease, diabetes type 1, diabetes type 2, all manner of cancers, all of these and practically every other health problem that you can mention has some involvement on one or more levels of inflammation. Now, if we know that inflammation is the driving force behind most diseases of human beings, why can't we simply focus on inflammation and manage these diseases in terms of preventing the early loss of quality of life and even length of life, and offsetting early development of chronic diseases? The answer is we can. We can focus on inflammation, except we cannot do it in a generic way. And what I mean by generic way is that, well, you've heard this before. You'll hear about this or that food or this or that nutritional supplement that is the best for inflammation or is somehow inherently anti-inflammatory. And there may be some truth in that. For example, a Mediterranean-type diet certainly does contain various foods that are anti-inflammatory. And there are nutritional supplements ranging from omega-3 fatty acids to digestive enzymes to turmeric or boswellia, for example, that certainly have anti-inflammatory effects. But here's the key point. The amount of food and the amount and types and ratios, you know, the combinations of nutritional supplements that will make these supplements or these foods that we're talking about really produce anti-inflammatory effects. I see too many patients who eat right. They may consume what they have learned are anti-inflammatory foods, and they may very well, in fact, be taking a variety of supplements that are said to be anti-inflammatory, but the doses are far too low to have these effects. So wishful thinking would produce some improvement in a person's symptoms where they're taking things and eating foods that they have learned are anti-inflammatory, and for a few days, perhaps a few weeks, in some cases, even a few months, they might feel better, or they think they might be. But overall, I can tell you, from my nearly 27 years doing this type of work, that there is a big difference between promoting a placebo effect or even doing the food and supplements kind of right, but not maximizing the types of foods and doses and food frequency and nutritional supplement doses, that if you don't change the inflammatory markers on blood work and other tests, then you've only temporarily patched the process. And, you know, those of us in natural healthcare are concerned about, at least we give quite a lot of lip service to treating the cause of disease. And certainly inflammation is in the background of causes of disease. So if we're actually managing those causes, we should be able to measure on blood testing or other types of tests what are known as direct inflammatory measurements. And we'd want to see those numbers go down, right? Because high levels of inflammatory mediators, like interleukin-6, for example, C-reactive protein, tumor necrosis factor alpha, the ESR, these are just some tests. You don't have to remember them at this point. I'm going to speak about them more throughout the course of today's show. But the point is, we want to have objective reductions in inflammatory mediators, because if there's fewer of those inflammatory mediators, you know, compounds that mediate the inflammatory response, that's what an inflammatory mediator is, then we have statistically made a difference in the course of the disease that we know we might have, or the dysfunction or dis-ease that we may have. And what I mean by that, dis-ease and disease, and I've talked about this on prior shows on Ask the Blood Detective, is, you know, we are born, let's assume, healthy, and throughout our aging process, inflammatory mediators are produced, and they target certain tissues, and they degenerate those tissues. And depending on all sorts of factors, from genetics to lifestyle, your particular body may decide that its joints break down, or your brain or nervous system, or it might be your vascular system, or your hormonal or endocrine system. What I'm trying to say here is that if you develop the appropriate lifestyle habits along the course of your life cycle from birth to death, you can suppress inflammatory mediators. You can make many inflammatory mediators go away by fixing their cause or causes. And you can do this in large measure by eating right and taking the right supplements. And yes, I will say right now, based on the many inquiries I've had from you, the listening audience, that nutritional supplements are absolutely necessary. Foods alone will not do it for most individuals. Considering also that many of these inflammatory mediators cause destructive changes in our body, such that the destructive changes exceed the reparative changes. That's essentially what we need to do, what the goal is, the way I see it, by using healthy lifestyle, is that we need to target these inflammatory mediators so that the body can heal tissues, repair those tissues, and exceed the degenerative response. So the regenerative response must exceed the degenerative response. And that will happen, or at least there's a much greater probability of that happening with you or any other individual, if we pay attention to both diet and nutritional supplements, and of course, stress, and also electromagnetic exposures and all sorts of other environmental exposures. But let's back up for a moment and let's talk about this inflammatory process. So, you know, the inflammatory process is an absolutely necessary and vital component of our immune system. And many people don't put those two together, inflammation and the immune system. But when the immune system goes awry, it starts to degenerate the body. Now, when immune responses are temporary, they're, you know, short-lived and they're local, let's say when you cut your toe or have a physical injury, the inflammatory process is generally beneficial. So when it's local in one spot or in a contained area, it's quite beneficial. However, when the regulation of inflammation starts to break down, that's when this process starts of damage to tissues and organs. And that's the hallmark, by the way, of most chronic degenerative diseases. So all those diseases I just mentioned, whether it's cardiovascular disease or neurologic disease or hormonal diseases, you name the disease, that disease has some component of inflammation. So most things that kill human beings involve an imbalanced regulation of the inflammatory and the immune response. That equals chronic disease. Chronic disease is a systemic problem. So it's therefore not local in one place. Let's say like a cut on your thumb. So what I'm saying here is when the inflammatory process is triggered and it becomes systemic, that's when we need to pay extreme attention, and that's when the problems start. Now, understanding the various aspects and ways in which the inflammatory process works, if we have some basic knowledge of this, you yourself, and I like to say as your own personal blood detective, can do quite a lot to manage your own health. Now, likewise, there is an immense amount of research now being directed at finding natural agents and compounds like foods and supplements that affect the inflammatory process on its various levels. So that's another important distinction that I need to draw for you today, is that the inflammatory process is really the inflammatory processes. There are many processes of inflammation. So there will never be one food and there will never be one supplement that can target all the inflammatory processes. But as a blood detective myself, self-proclaimed blood detective, I am good at looking for these inflammatory mediators. And I should also mention everything from pain of joints, muscles, nerves, all of that is inflammatory. You cannot have any sensation of discomfort without having inflammation. So we'll speak today about the role of inflammation in chronic disease, and specifically the role of your diet, your overall lifestyle, and various nutrients, what I'll call nutraceutical agents, for both the prevention and managing acute inflammation, which is short-lived and also generally local in the body, and also the chronic inflammation, which we just discussed, is systemic throughout the body. You know, when most people think of inflammation, they think of it as, you know, there's four basic hallmarks. There's redness, there's swelling, there's pain, and there's heat. And human beings have known this since ancient times. And it's these hallmarks, again, the redness, swelling, pain, and heat, that are associated with acute injury and things like infections, and are absolutely vital to the repair of any damaged tissue. So these reactions to the body are always meant to heal. So redness would generally indicate increased circulation to an area of injury so that you can circulate out inflammatory mediators, you can circulate in white blood cells that eat up any infections, therefore swelling results from all of this inflow of fluid. And pain, of course, is a sign of irritation of those local nerve endings and or nerves and degeneration of the tissues. And as these tissues break down, they release more inflammatory mediators, which trigger your nervous system to have discomfort. If the nervous system pain signals are blocked, a person will not feel anything. So, you know, over the past couple of decades, we've linked inflammation, the inflammatory process, to virtually every chronic disease, many of which do not manifest any outward signs until they do. You know, so for example, the inflammatory diseases of the skin, like psoriasis and eczema, by the time you see those skin changes, there has been an inflammatory autoimmune process under the surface, and then it gets to such a point that finally you have symptoms. The same thing is true of inflammation of the bowels, you know, Crohn's disease or colitis in general, or inflammation of the nervous system, which is what Alzheimer's disease and multiple sclerosis are characterized as. And also, by the time a person has rheumatoid arthritic changes or even allergies or asthma or hardening of the arteries, arterial sclerosis, cancer, diabetes, just to name a few, all of these, by the time you are aware of these conditions, there has been an inflammatory process under the surface that the body has not been able to properly regulate. And the proof of that is degeneration. You'll see that on x-rays and other imaging like MRIs and CT scans and, of course, laboratory work. Now, while the tissues affected by these conditions may be different, the cells that comprise these tissues are affected in virtually the same ways from this fundamental process of inflammation. Now, the good news is this. If the fundamental inflammatory process involves certain changes, we can target those changes. And as I just mentioned, when those fundamental inflammatory processes take place, depending on the tissue they affect, you have a different disease that you go to a different doctor for. But because the inflammatory processes are fundamentally identical, we can target them. So let's back up for just a second and let me review again the fundamental process of inflammation, because if you have a concept of this, you'll be able to make smarter choices in terms of the foods you eat, what you participate in life in terms of physical activities, emotional, mental activities, and of course, nutritional supplements. So the basic process of inflammation begins with some sort of injury somewhere, whether it's physical, chemical, or biological. And there'll be a signal that causes tissue injury. Now, the tissue injury results in the release of these inflammatory mediators. I've mentioned that term a number of times, but there's a fancy name for these inflammatory mediators, and they're called cytokines, or sometimes you'll hear them be referred to as chemoattractants. But let's just use the term for now. So cytokines are released, and they are chemicals, so they send a chemical message to the immune system, you know, in the bloodstream. And then the immune system recruits cells to go to the area of inflammation. So this is what they call cellular crosstalk. It's a literal language and communication among body tissues that innate intelligence and our evolution and by some manner of miracle, our body can talk to other parts. Our chemistry can talk to other tissues, which then cause yet other chemical responses such that the recruitment of a healing process is begun. Now, once inflammation occurs, and that tells immune cells to go into an area of damage, they start to fight against the cause of the tissue damage. And they do that too when immune cells are recruited into the areas of inflammation. They release more and more different types of chemicals. Those chemicals might increase the size of blood vessels or what's called vasodilation to heal the tissue. Some of those chemical messages bring in platelets. Platelets are type of cells which clot areas to maybe close off bleeding and or heal tissue. And then there's other types of enzymes that are brought in by the cell-to-cell chemical crosstalk. So all of all of the innate intelligence of the body is there. So the degeneration that we see in chronic disease that results from inflammation is really inflammation that has gone awry, too much of a good thing. It's really no different than cholesterol. You know, cholesterol is not the cause of itself increasing in the blood. Inflammation of blood vessels causes the recruitment of cholesterol, different types of cholesterol like LDL cholesterol, to the blood vessel to try to repair it. But if the inflammatory process of the blood vessel is not reduced, then more and more types of the so-called bad cholesterols accumulate, and then they become a problem in and of themselves. So any attempt, by the way, at reducing cardiovascular disease that does not reduce inflammation will likely not work, or at least not work as well as it could. Now, all of us know that there are many anti-inflammatory drugs available. You know, compounds such as the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, known as the NSAIDs, they would include aspirin and ibuprofen and naproxen. They're known as non-specific inhibitors of different types of inflammation. And I would concede that there are times when medications might be appropriate when all else fails for managing the inflammatory process. But by and large, particularly in chronic disease, as opposed to acute injury, nutrition really is quite effective. However, I've personally used nutrients for acute injuries. You know, as a runner, there are some times that I've fallen, running too fast down a hill, for example. I've caused some injury, let's say to my foot or my toe, and I've used high doses of curcumin and DHA and vitamin C, and I've recovered just fine. And I did not need to take ibuprofen, for example, to reduce the inflammatory, painful and reddening process, those hallmarks of inflammation. I'm not suggesting, and I suppose this is a disclaimer right now, that you should go ahead and do what I do. We're simply having a discussion here, an educational discussion of how the inflammatory process works, its relationship to autoimmunity, how your immune system basically eats you, breaks tissues down, which results in more autoimmune fire. Now, we've just mentioned that traditional medicine has anti-inflammatory agents. The issue with them can be that they may suppress the inflammatory process for too long. And we need the inflammatory process, right? Because the inflammatory process brings in blood flow, helps remove toxins, increases lymphatic flow, produces a certain amount of pain, which is a sign of us needing to guard that injury somewhat. You know, so if a person has, let's say, rheumatoid arthritis, and they take a very strong anti-inflammatory drug, they certainly can feel good. Let's say it was prednisone, and they may not have any joint pain temporarily, and because they don't have joint pain, which would allow them to manage their joint, let's say it was their knee. If we don't have some sensation of discomfort, we could possibly stress that knee, moving it too much because we're not feeling anything, causing more destructive changes. And then eventually the medications don't work and we have actually worsened our injury because we've suppressed inflammation too much. So I always think it's best that whether it's a traditional anti-inflammatory drug or it's nutrition, whether diet or nutritional supplements, when you're trying to manage pain, I always personally stop at allowing some amount of discomfort to be there so that we can guard that that injured tissue. Now, let's move into a practical discussion. Let's talk about diet. And there are several major lifestyle areas which contribute to chronic inflammation. Poor diet, obesity, and a sedentary lifestyle, not to mention smoking. These are some of the big ones. Of course, refined and processed sugars are pro-inflammatory. GMO, genetically modified organisms and/or foods, certainly, I believe, as author of a book on that topic called Frankenfoods, I believe GMOs are pro-inflammatory. Food allergies can be pro-inflammatory. There are many, many other pro-inflammatory agents. So let's talk about some of those and how we can adjust our diet such that we can reduce the overall inflammation. And I'm mostly speaking about chronic inflammation now. We're not going to be talking about acute injuries in the show because we only have an hour. And those are easier to treat. The chronic ones that have to do with every disease you can name, that is the challenge. So there are a number of dietary factors, as I just mentioned, that can actually cause or exacerbate inflammation. So it's widely believed, for example, that pro-inflammatory effects for certain types of omega-6 fats, what are known as polyunsaturated fatty acids or arachidonic acids or fats, are precursors to inflammation. So, for example, evening primrose oil is an omega-6 fat, and it has a pro-inflammatory effect. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I take that for, you know, my menstrual hormonal maladjustments and symptoms. Well, I think there are better ways of doing it. I personally never use evening primrose oil because it's an omega-6 fat. Omega-6 fats, known as linolenic acid, produce arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is a very strong precursor to the entire inflammatory cascade. You can trigger inflammation anywhere with omega-6 fats. There are very few times, very few cases where I use omega-6 fats. So this linoleic acid, which is an omega-6 fat, is consumed in quite large amounts in the Western diet, which I believe is a major contributor to inflammation because it's converted to this arachidonic acid, which I keep mentioning. That's an inflammatory mediator. Now, this omega-6 fat competes with omega-3 fatty acids. Now, we all know about omega-3 fatty acids. So the way to manage inflammation, number one, is to either reduce or eliminate your intake of omega-6 fats and to increase exponentially your dietary and your supplement intake of omega-3 fatty acids. So most dietary sources of the omega-6 fatty acids include plant seed oils such as corn, sunflower, safflower oil, as well as oils and foods made from these oils like margarines. And these foods, you may not consume them, but the typical American does, and in abundance in the Western diet. And these foods will produce that arachidonic acid, which, by the way, is also present in eggs and meat. Meat, for example, is largely arachidonic acid. And arachidonic acid is one of the most inflammatory mediators known. But omega-3 fats, especially the long-chain omega-3 fats found in fatty fish, they're considered to have a very powerful and reliable anti-inflammatory effect. So in the Western diet, omega-3 fatty acids are usually consumed in amounts much, much lower than the omega-6. So the typical ratio, therefore, of omega-6 fats to omega-3 fats in the American diet is usually around 20 to 1, 20 times too much omega-6 fats. And these are the ratios of fats that can contribute significantly to chronic inflammation in the body. The particular type of omega-3 fat that I suggest that my patients use, and I certainly use, is concentrated DHA. So fish oil is EPA DHA, but it's the DHA that is the major component of cell membranes in the body, which comprise all tissues. All tissues, organs, glands, and organ systems are made of cells, and those cells have cell membranes. And those cell membranes are largely DHA omega-3 fat. And because it's a polyunsaturated fatty acid, unsaturated means that it has places in it that are not filled up, and its chemical structure is what I'm referring to, that can absorb free radicals, which promote tissue damage and inflammation. There's many other ways in which DHA modifies our immune system and tissue repair and is a chemical messenger itself. DHA is a chemical that talks to these inflammatory mediators, telling them to go away. Essentially, that's really what happens. The dose of DHA I usually start with is a tablespoon. Towards the end of today's conversation, I'll be listing several of my top picks of inflammatory agents that deal with these fundamental inflammatory and immune problems that I've been talking about. You know, we've said now, I just want to point out the obvious, is that inflammation is absolutely necessary for triggering certain chemical mediators and processes in the body for tissue repair. But the problem is, because of lifestyle, genetics, and other factors, other stressors in life, our inflammatory cascade in our body, our body gets confused, and inflammation continues, and then that as I mentioned earlier, is too much of a good thing, and that degenerates tissues. So nutrients conveniently, when used correctly, help to modify the inflammatory response. So you can master inflammation, the topic of this show, by taking enough nutritional synergists in the right doses that helps your body modify or mediate the inflammatory response. If the inflammatory response is too high, mediation with nutrition, lifestyle, stress reduction means it comes down. If your inflammatory process is too low and your body is not effectively healing tissues, then nutrients being modifiers or mediators of the inflammatory response help to bring up the inflammatory cascade of events in such a way that it's protective and reparative against tissues. Let me just mention a couple of inflammatory mediators that we can measure on blood. There's C-reactive protein, or CRP. This is a generalized inflammatory mediator. It's much more sensitive than most others. It's usually compared to another well-known inflammatory marker called the ESR. Usually rheumatologists are the ones doing that, or general practitioners, your PCP. If you have symptoms, let's say, of joint problems, they'll measure an ESR. And that means erythrocyte sedimentation rate. That inflammatory mediator may be dealt very differently, nutritionally speaking, compared to C-reactive protein. Elevated levels of C-reactive protein, in a general sense, tend to lower with DHA oil at about 1 to 2 tablespoons per day, along with vitamin E, which is an anti-inflammatory agent, between 400 IUs, which is the unit of vitamin E, and about 1,200. If a person has a chronic inflammatory autoimmune disease, auto means too much. It also means that your body's immune system is degenerating itself. My point is, higher doses of vitamin E tend to bring down the autoimmune response. But those should be managed carefully with a qualified clinical nutritionist, and preferably one that knows and is qualified to read laboratory work. Otherwise, vitamin E levels should stay at around 400 international units. And then there is lipoic acid, which is a member of the B vitamin family. That has been shown to lower C-reactive protein levels. And then there are other inflammatory mediators that I certainly measure from time to time, particularly when anyone has any kind of painful syndromes or discomforts, is a tumor necrosis factor alpha. And that's one that generally responds to turmeric, also boswellia, along with DHA, lipoic acid, vitamin E. But when you're thinking about nutrients and foods that might help your particular type and degree of inflammation, those nutrients and lifestyle factors need to be based on more than just these generalizations that I'm talking about. Because if you do have an elevated C-reactive protein, you might need something completely different than the nutrients that I just mentioned to lower it. Now, having said that, the nutrients that I've mentioned are relatively safe for anyone. Some of them, like DHA, are blood thinners potentially. So if you're on warfarin, Coumadin, or aspirin, for example, you certainly need to talk to your healthcare provider before you take nutrients that can potentially promote blood thinning, because you can have too much blood thinning, and that increases your risk of hemorrhagic stroke. Now, the glycemic index, that is a term that refers to how your body deals with sugar. So glycemic index is abbreviated GI for glycemic index, and glycemic load is abbreviated GL. And the glycemic load and glycemic index definitely plays a role in inflammation. We cannot have a conversation about inflammation without talking about sugars. Now, on my website, which is at www.integratednutrition.com, NY.com, you might look up blood sugar, and you'll find all kinds of written materials in my top like 50 causes or 50 problems that sugar causes in the body. One of them obviously is inflammation, but blood sugar drives inflammation everywhere. Now, just because you may not eat refined and processed sugar, every food that you eat, protein, carbohydrates, and fats, all break down to glucose in the body. That's right. They all break down to glucose, which is sugar. But the process of how your body breaks them down may have gone awry, and that can promote inflammation. So many people that I see, they're quite distressed because they say, you know, Dr. Wald, I don't eat any sugar at all. And if I do, it's raw honey, let's say, or natural maple syrup. These are sugars. So, yeah, they may have some extra minerals and enzymes and other important nutrient elements, but they're sugars. How your body manages them is something that needs to be addressed. Particularly if you're aware that you have a blood sugar problem, either a fasting glucose level will be elevated, and sometimes you'll have an elevation of what's known as hemoglobin A1C. And that's a several week average of your blood sugar. And if you are a 5.7% or more on your hemoglobin A1C, you have a blood sugar problem. And therefore, that blood sugar problem can drive inflammation of any tissue, like in a diabetic. But you don't have to be a diabetic to have blood sugar be a problem promoting inflammation. Remember, before you have outright diabetes that you're aware of, a person has, they don't have diabetes. They have a problem managing, or I should say mismanaging sugar, which is the same thing in my mind as mismanaging inflammation. So I always work on managing the diet and using nutritional supplements and exercise and stress reduction so that blood sugar is better controlled. Moving on to overweight, whether a person is obese or just over fat, I have many thin fat patients, meaning when I measure their body's composition and their percentage of muscle, water, and fat, their fat percentage relative to what's called their lean body mass is excessive. We already know that excessive adipose tissue, which is fat tissue, is associated with higher levels of C-reactive protein and many other inflammatory markers, and therefore will increase risk of not just diabetes, but also heart disease and something called metabolic syndrome. Visceral abdominal fat is by far the best determinant of inflammation in the body. So if you have fat in your gut, you have more inflammation potential. You know, it was once thought that fat tissues on the body were just this like passive storage site, but we know that fat tissue secretes over 50 different proteins, or what they call adipokines, that have many diverse roles in promoting disease and inflammation of many types. That's right. There are many types of inflammation, and fat tissue, and not just overweight or obesity, but being over fat, a thin fat person, which you can measure with a body composition test, is a pro-inflammatory problem. So one would need to modify, generally speaking, their protein intake so that you build up lean body tissue. And lean body tissue is where your metabolic rate lives. And proteins, by the way, plant forms of proteins I prefer, they are the least inflammatory promoting of all the proteins. Proteins from animal products, whether it's chicken, fish, or red meat, are effective to some extent, of course, in increasing lean body mass, but they have much more of an inflammatory potential. So I choose vegetarian forms of proteins, generally speaking, or if a person who sees me is not willing to give up animal sources of protein, that's okay, usually, because if we enhance and rebalance the plant form of proteins, it can make up for a lot of issues. So it's my job always to meet a person where they're at. You know, if I'm going to impose a lifestyle plan on someone that's impossible for them, what good is it? So for those of you who might see me as a patient at some point, please know that My job is not to turn your life upside down, but it is to find out to what extent, the least that you would need to do to modify your inflammatory response. Now, I spoke about C-reactive protein before, but what is important to know is that CRP, C-reactive protein, that's secreted mostly by the liver. And C-reactive protein doesn't just magically appear one day. Neither does any other inflammatory mediator. Everything has a trigger. A trigger to increase C-reactive protein is called interleukin-6 or IL-6. And the thing to know here now, we've just learned a few things, is that whenever we're dealing with inflammation, we need to focus on the liver. So I use milk thistle, of course, and I also use my brand of N-acetylcysteine, which helps to downregulate the production of C-reactive protein, and interleukin-6, which reduces the inflammatory cascades in the body, which in the case of C-reactive protein is well known to be associated with heart disease risk. And it's important when you measure C-reactive protein, you measure the high sensitivity CRP, not just the regular CRP. There are differences. I see that error all the time on blood testing. Now, moving to lifestyle, we know that a sedentary lifestyle absolutely influences inflammation, of course, by promoting weight gain and just outright obesity. So the body simply has more inflammatory mediator production in the fat tissue. Now, active skeletal muscle, interestingly, will release cytokines. These are those inflammatory compounds I mentioned earlier, or something called mitokines, into circulation, but they reduce inflammation in muscle cells, and not just in muscle cells, but at distant sites. So let me say this again. When you exercise, skeletal muscle, your muscle releases cytokines and mitokines, and those are modifiers of inflammation. They reduce inflammation, not just in muscles, but anywhere else in the body. So it's very, very important, obviously, that exercise is a mainstay of any attempt to reduce inflammation. Most people that I speak with, sadly though, they don't seem to know what exercise is. They simply don't. I don't know how to explain it. They think that just being busy is exercise, or shopping a lot, or being busy taking care of the kids, or that sort of thing. And that's known as activities of daily living, and they're certainly fundamental for just our existence, but exercise must impose a bit of a physical challenge on the body, and the type of exercise has to be appropriate for health goals. So exercise to reduce cardiovascular disease might be different than exercise for reducing, let's say, the progression of multiple sclerosis. And the exercise, at least I've found, for, let's say, thyroid disease might be very, very different than for adrenal stress. So I tend to review and personalize exercise along with nutrition for everyone that I see. As far as other triggers of inflammation, obviously smoking. I don't think we need to go into that in any real detail. But back to diet for a moment. I just wrote an article in a woman's journal about the Mediterranean diet and how the generous amounts of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, deep sea fish, and fermented dairy are very, very pro-inflammatory, potentially speaking, that is. I see patients virtually every day that are eating right. They're eating a Mediterranean diet. They're eating a vegan diet or a low-acid ash diet or a low-glycemic diet, but they still have inflammation because you are not what you eat. And you are what you absorb from what you eat. And but as my last show discussed on nutrient activation, your body is what you activate from what you eat. So just doing the right thing, eating the right diet, taking the right supplements, you need to take active forms of supplements. You need to support your liver and your small intestine health because the liver and small intestine activate nutrients. So if you're going to take all these anti-inflammatory nutrients, they need to be in activated forms and or your body needs to activate them. If you're going to eat what you think is an anti-inflammatory diet, you need to first know, do you absorb this diet and to what extent? Then you can really get there. You can really get somewhere with inflammation. Any weight loss, by the way, that a person should achieve, it needs to be such that you do not lose any lean body mass. If you lose lean body mass, you'll tend to increase inflammatory mediators. So for the remainder of today's conversation, I'm only going to talk about practical use of nutrition right now. Let's start with some of the botanicals I mentioned before. There are a variety of plant compounds that have been used in traditional medicine all over the world for both acute and chronic inflammatory diseases. And these anti-inflammatory agents have been their best purified. Many of them have been shown in studies to be anti-cancer agents, and they have just all sorts of beneficial effects upon the body. I have four products that I formulated known as Detox 1, Detox 2, Detox 3, and Detox 4. And they are essentially different colored powders, green, orange, red, and purple, due to the concentration of different plant products. For a generalized anti-inflammatory effect of the diet, I always add one scoop of each of these mixed together at once to taste, diluted in water, to anyone's diet that I see, unless there's some very specific reason I should not. Even if a person does not change their SAD diet, their standard American diet, adding concentrated plant products in the form of superfoods like Detox 1, 2, 3, and 4 will go a long way towards managing inflammation. Many of the compounds that I have in these products are anti-inflammatory, like the turmeric or curcumin, long recognized as an anti-inflammatory agent due to what's called the curcuminoids in them. And these affect all the major inflammatory pathways. Some of them are called COX-2 pathways, LOX pathways. Curcumin reduces the interleukin-6, which I mentioned earlier, and something called MCP-1 and interleukin-1 beta. These and other inflammatory agents can be effectively reduced with turmeric. But I use the Detox 1 through 4 powders because I find that combining tens of thousands of plant elements at once tends to work a lot better. The dosing of the Detox 1 through 4 products I mentioned are one scoop of each. Some people, if you're overweight by at least 25 pounds, then I have my patients generally use two scoops of each. So they'll have one scoop of these four products in the morning, either as a meal replacement or in between meals, and they'll have another four scoops at some point later in the day, either as a meal or in between meal replacement. And then in my Detox 1 through 4 powders, I have dozens of nutritional synergists of what's called quercetin and what are known as flavonoids, all of these synergistic flavonoids. So plant flavonoids are widely distributed in nature and in most diets, but they're really not at the level that would have strong anti-inflammatory effects. You know, quercetin, as one example, when your body metabolizes it after you take it by mouth, half of it is completely denatured. So most people are taking a minimum of half of what they need. And then depending on your inflammatory problem, your diagnoses, the dose of quercetin might be much, much higher. But when you take multiple anti-inflammatory agents like I've combined in the Detox 1 through 4 products, you have stronger anti-inflammatory effects because I have lowered the doses of the anti-inflammatory plants, but I put so many synergists together. They work so well. They tend to act, in my experience, like much higher doses. And you can take these. You know, it's one thing to say these are the nutrients you need, but you need to be able to actually take them. So quercetin and many other bioflavonoids are very effective, been shown effective for both acute and chronic inflammation. They help tissue healing. They have very, very few side effects. And then I also use enzymes. I have something called Detox Absorb, which is a plant-derived protein, carbohydrate, and fat enzyme compound. Now, enzymes are used for two basic reasons. At least I use them for two basic reasons. They are anti-inflammatories in the body in general, but this is a clinical pearl right here. You need to know. Clinical pearl means a very important point. If you want enzymes to work as an anti-inflammatory agents, you need to take them a half an hour or more away from your meals. I'll say it again. If you want enzymes to have a powerful anti-inflammatory effect in the body, you must take them 30 minutes either before or after, at least 30 minutes, anything you eat. And here's how you can remember it. If you take enzymes at the same time with your food, they're going to be mixed up and mashed up with your food, and they will serve as mostly digestive enzymes to help you digest your foods. But if you take them away from your foods, they act more like metabolic anti-inflammatory agents throughout the body. I also tend to use Boswellia at about 1,000 milligrams a day. Boswellia contains what's known as boswellic acid, and there have been placebo-controlled trials on people with osteoarthritis, for example, of the knee, where they've given as little as 1,000 milligrams a day, and the pain scores, the swelling, all go down in usually around 8 weeks. And similar studies have been used in colitis and also bronchial asthma. And these studies are just showing wonderful effects of Boswellia, along with many of the other bioflavonoid agents, which I've combined in the Detox 1 through 4 products. I also always use, as I said earlier, DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. That's an omega-3 fat at a tablespoon or two daily. Now, another important group of nutrients that you don't really hear about much when you listen to discussions on anti-inflammation or repair is actually the use of amino acids. So amino acids are derived from proteins. Now, assuming you digest your proteins, you would break down those proteins into individual amino acids, and then some amino acids are linked together. Two of them may be linked, or three may be linked, or four may be linked. Those are called dipeptides, tripeptides, polypeptides. The point is, I use an amino acid complete product that I put together that has all the essential amino acids that a person needs and is required to build tissues. Remember, if you build tissues, the reparative capacity of the body, which is absolutely affected by amino acids, will exceed the inflammatory disrepair. So when the body breaks down, it will protein steal from other areas. So figuring out your protein and, more importantly, your amino acid needs and making sure you meet them is fundamental for any tissue process. Again, think of this in your mind. If the tissue breaks down, and most of our tissues are primarily made of proteins, that's degeneration. So I always give an amino acid complete product, generally based on someone's body composition, but for listeners, I generally will start people with two of those capsules twice per day, taken away from foods by about a half an hour. And also, any inflammatory process will increase nutrient needs because your body is trying to heal itself. You must make sure that you absorb normally. So sometimes I find that individuals are low in stomach acid. So I use a betaine hydrochloride at one capsule, one per meal, three meals per day after the meal for improved absorption, particularly of proteins. If you improve your protein absorption, you should improve your chronic inflammatory process and healing process. Buffered vitamin C, which I have in the form of something called Detox Eliminate, is very important for overall anti-inflammatory effects because inflammation is fundamentally an acidic process. So we don't want ascorbic acid. We want natural ascorbates, which is what I use in my Detox Eliminate powder. I tend to start people with one level teaspoon per day, diluted in about 1 to 2 ounces of water, once a day to start. Now, I should mention that each of these nutrients and dietary approaches that I'm mentioning, they affect some specific anti-inflammatory pathways. And by taking multiple nutritional compounds together, you get to affect and help re-regulate more of these inflammatory mediators than if you just took one thing. That's what nutritional synergism is all about, and that's how nature works. Nutrients are combined with many others, sometimes dozens, hundreds, tens of thousands perhaps, like in plant foods. So the plant foods, detox 1 through 4, fundamental as far as baseline anti-inflammatory nutrients. Vitamin C needs to be titrated and idealized in terms of dose based on your needs, and that would be done by starting with a level teaspoon of vitamin C in the form of detox eliminate, for example, once a day. And if your bowels do not move that day, the next day you take 2 level teaspoons throughout the course of the day, 1 teaspoon in the morning, 1 teaspoon, let's say, midday or at night, until you have a slightly loose stool, and then you cut back. That's how you idealize your amount of vitamin C for anti-inflammatory and tissue reparative effects. Now, if you have infections that are promoting inflammation, then you may need to cover a lot of bases. And again, nutrients do not replace antibiotics, antifungals, antiviral agents, antiparasitic agents. I can't claim that. I'm just saying I would consider these things. My Candida Essentials has around 8 or 9 fundamental antifungal agents that have been shown in studies to suppress the growth of fungi. My Superbugs product is a combination synergistic probiotic. Probiotics are known to have anti-inflammatory effects. I would just start with the doses on the bottles. And if you have an immune or autoimmune problem, I would use Detox Immunoglobulin G. Detox Immunoglobulin G. Immunoglobulins are anti-inflammatory agents. They downregulate the inflammatory response, which means they reduce it. And immunoglobulins are part of the anti-inflammatory cascade of immune reaction to inflammation. So if you're having a problem controlling inflammation with autoimmune disease, you may have an issue with immunoglobulins. Going back to enzymes, Detox Absorb is the enzyme that I produce. The doses there, again, I ideally figure that out by a person taking 1 capsule per meal 3 times a day, a meal being equivalent to a handful of food. And then if the person doesn't have gastritis or diarrhea from that dose, then the next day they increase it to double it. They take 2 of the capsules 3 times a day. And then the next day, 3 of the capsules 3 times a day, as long as they're not feeling they're getting side effects. I would generally stop there. And that would be closer to an anti-inflammatory dose for, I would say, most of the individuals that I've seen. Although more or less is certainly possible. For those of you who are not fans of taking a liquid DHA oil, which is the anti-inflammatory omega-3, I have something called Detox Inflam X, which is a very nicely put together, if I do say so myself, omega-3 fat in a capsule form. I generally start with 2 capsules per day with individuals. Green tea extract is also known to downregulate C-reactive protein and many of those inflammatory interleukins. Now, I say that certain nutrients may affect the same inflammatory mediators, but they may do it differently, which is another reason why we want to cover our bases with nutritional synergism. If someone has, moving along, if someone has joint degenerative changes, they should absolutely consider joint support, your basic joint support, which I have in a product called Joint Complex. And that's fine for joint tissue repair. And then I would use DHA oil on top of that and enzymes, for example, to reduce the inflammatory process, which is directed towards the joints. Too many people stop with just, let's say, chondroitin and glucosamine sulfate for their joints. But those nutritional compounds don't affect the inflammatory process nearly as well as if you combine it with DHA, for example, and enzymes. Now, when it comes to reducing fat on the body, of course, you would want to reduce your intake of saturated fats in your diet, and you'd want to exercise. But I find that adding things like Keto Raspberry Supreme, which is a highly concentrated form of raspberries, which contain ketones, that has been shown in studies to increase metabolic rate. I might also use a starch blocker, in the form of a product that I have called Starch Blocker, which is from the white bean, which also tends to improve metabolic rate. And by the way, DHA oil, which I've mentioned so many times, when you take that in by mouth, much of that is incorporated into fat tissue, and it makes fat tissue much easier to burn. And the last nutrient I'll just reiterate is milk thistle, because many of the inflammatory mediators like C-reactive protein are produced by the liver. So milk thistle, generally in the 100 to 400 milligram range, meets most people's needs for general milk thistle support for the liver. So I think today that'll cover it for beating inflammation and mastering inflammation. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Dr. Michael Wald, for those of you who are new to the show, and I'm Director of Nutrition at Integrated Nutrition of Mount Kisco. That's located about an hour north of New York City. For those of you who want to work with me either by video chat or phone or in person, you can call me at 914-242-8844. You can email me as well, your show topics at the email is info@blooddetective.com. The next show is all about the role of stress upon chronic disease. We'll see you then. Show.